The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Thank you so very much for having me this morning. Good morning to your listeners as well.
So the question already has people doing like, what do you mean doing too much? What does that mean? How do we really know when we're doing too much and not just experiencing a normal busy day?
Well, firstly, we have to acknowledge in recent times there has been that increase in responsibilities both at home and work. Mm-hmm. And so many people find it very difficult to meet this demand. So, I mean, we're always busy. But I think one of a good indicator is when this busyness stops feeling temporary and it starts feeling like it's our default setting. Mm-hmm. Now, there's this term, Tosca, that we refer to as chronic time pressure. And what this does, it triggers your stress responses mm-hmm. more frequently. So what it affects your concentration, your mood, your sleep. And now that when many people feel very rushed, even when we're doing leisure things, it's a sign that our nervous system is in a constant go mood. So when you're constantly in that particular type of mood and you feel like you're catching up or your day feels like it's crowded between morning or night, that's usually a red flag that we need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Why do so many adults and parents push themselves beyond their limits, especially when it comes to work and family?
So from a psychological perspective, many persons have tied their self-worth to productivity, or there is the ability that we have to hold everything together. And a cultural message that is constantly bombarding us is that good parents or hardworking adults or even just being a good child always is about doing more. So when we look at social media, the reels, the 10-second posts on social media, it perceives that people's lives are always constantly filled and they are filled with these never-ending activities. Mm-hmm. Of it, and it's a belief of achieving more, doing more, staying constantly available, and that unfortunately inflates their in expectations. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that wanting better is an issue. Parents generally want to give their children that opportunity that they never had. But what we have to be mindful is that over time, people will stop checking in themselves and they will start operating on this autopilot. And that's because they're trying to maintain these standards that may no longer be the healthy or realistic. Mm-hmm. So we have to really and truly take that, we have to take a mental check of ourselves to see, you know, what are we doing, and then asking ourselves for what.
Mm-hmm. And if it's really that important.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you run on the, you know, your mind constantly goes, even when there is really nothing urgent, but that's our constant go mode. So we're just constantly filling ourselves. And then when there is that time of maybe a rest, people will say, well, you know, we have to do something more. There's something else that needs to be done. There's something else that needs to be achieved.
Especially around seasons like Christmas time.
Correct.
Do you find that that is more prevalent?
It is. And you remember, we're trying to satisfy certain things. So we have, on work, we have our end of year deadlines that we need to meet. We have our performance targets because we're trying to get our bonus. We're trying to make sure we get the toys for the kids. We try to make sure that we are able to be open and available for our friends, whether it's social gatherings, etc. And then we of ourselves don't realize that at that point in time, there is no more in us for us to give. But that is the expectation that is there for us. And that's what it keeps drawing us and pulling us in.
Mm-hmm. Why do, now we are a connected world, but I am curious, how does technology increase time pressure, even when it's supposed to make things easier?
Well, that's a very good question, Tosca, because technology is like a double-edged sword. It gives us flexibility. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you could work remotely or whatever. It helps us stay connected, but it blurs boundaries. And what that is, it's because these devices that we're constantly on, and I'm sure you could probably say, you know, as soon as they get up, what's the first thing that we reach for? Majority of persons say they'll reach for their phone, they'll reach for their devices, because it creates that expectation that I have to always remain connected. So let's say, for example, growing up, when over the weekend, you used to be very excited to come to work at the water stations or even at school to see what you did over the weekend. Mm-hmm. But now persons know what you do in real time because it's up on your social media. So with that technology, what it does is that it turns regular workdays and activities into endless ones. So we have to be very mindful, because we are growing up, we have to understand that the connection then becomes lost with persons if every single thing, all our lives are on display. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly on our stage performing. So we want the newest device. We want to make sure that we have an upgrade and stuff like that. But what research has shown is that the exposure to technology advertising, it's a comparison. It's a comparison theory where there is a perceived inadequacy of people, because they always will be feeling that I'm falling behind if I'm comparing myself to this family, if I'm comparing myself to this particular individual, and they so need to always upgrade their lifestyle or fill their children's schedules with activities to say, well, look at what we are doing. Mm-hmm. But that consumer culture, it pushes people into particular decisions that shrink their free time instead of creating it. Mm-hmm. So the more is better mindset, it makes us feel the rest that we're supposed to be engaging in or things to slow us down, it makes us feel unproductive.
Yeah. Fear of missing out. FOMO.
Correct. That's mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Who came up with that term? And is it that that also applies pressure? I mean, you kind of highlighted it, yes. But that whole... Because I think that's a millennial, you know, these groups of generations, yes. They name them now. And FOMO is such a thing. You know, is that part of the cycle that we go through where we really feel, as the word you use, inadequate in how we are presenting ourselves?
Well, humans are social creatures, mm-hmm. right? So, and we want to have that sense of belonging. So we look for these particular rewards, whether the rewards can be just through validation or whether rewards could be. So societal and community expectations really and truly feeds people to constantly stay busy. So because we want to avoid judgment, we decide to do certain things that will measure what is our adequacy. So we don't want to miss out on any social gatherings that we're invited to. We don't want to disappoint. I always say sometimes we have to choose guilt over regret. And what that looks like is that sometimes we make ourselves so very much available, but there are times where we may just have to simply say, I can't. I changed my mind, I can't. Because the regret may be that you miss out on very important things that requires your attention. And I'll give a simple example. And I'm not saying that this is, sometimes as you rightfully say, that we are in seasons in our lives and certain things may take more precedence over others. But let's say every single time one of our coworkers asks us to stay back late to help with a particular
project.
And we keep saying, sure, no problem. We keep being available. But we missed some of the important things, whether it's a prior engagement with a friend, a child, just showing up, being emotionally mm-hmm. present. Those are the things that we're going to miss. I always remember somebody shared an experience with me and, you know, fantastic in terms of success. But when they leave home at 4 a.m. on mornings, they reach home at 6:30 p.m. They don't see their kids during the day until on weekends. And that's because we are constantly being demanded. Our time is being demanded. Now we have to, if we don't allow ourselves to check that, then we are constantly missing out on certain things, and that's where the regret comes in.
Now you mentioned creating boundaries. We'll get to that in a minute. Does being constantly busy affect our relationships, especially with partners and children?
It can, because again, we want to, in families, we want to make sure that we can be available. And that's for both our partners, for our families, for our friends. And you remember, the fear of disappointment can sometimes be a very powerful motivator. If, and as I mentioned before, if it is that we are constantly available for certain things, there are other things that we're going to miss. Mm-hmm. And that is what is the relationships, our family relationships and social relationships that matters, that can suffer if our attention is pointed elsewhere. So again, it's creating that balance to ensure that we are not too busy for the most important things in our lives.
And this would be where boundaries come in. What are some practical steps families and individuals take to slow down and create healthier routines?
So I, as I mentioned, a balanced approach to me works best. So a couple of things that we could work on. One, clarifying what our values are. So we actually have to ask ourselves what actually matters most for me in this season of my life. And we have to name those priorities so that we could reduce that cognitive overload. We have to write it down and dream and visualize it and have that conversation with our families and our partners to make sure that there is alignment. We have to also set boundaries in terms of limits at work. It can seem daunting and impossible, but very incremental changes, sometimes as simple as taking your full allocated lunch time and doing something that's very unrelated from work, and as well as reducing digital distractions, can really and truly restore some of those breathing room. And again, there are things that may always seem urgent, important, or an emergency, but once we are able to be intentional, we will be able to categorize those things and put those things in its rightful place. And families too, families have to be intentional. They can benefit from a ritualized connection. And it could be simple things, sharing meals together, having these tech-free hours, even having weekly family check-in meetings. Once we prioritize our family time, and that looks very different for every family, but once we find those ways to reconnect and be emotionally present, these habits can then allow the brain to have predictiveness, and that can strengthen resilience as well as reduce the stress that we experience.
How can someone begin to see rest as healthy rather than unproductive?
Oh, that's a great question, Tuscan. I think what is very useful is reframing by recognizing that rest is not the opposite of productivity, it's actually part of it. And even the moments of rest can be very valuable, then we have constant activity. And when you look at neuroscience research, that also supports it, because it shows that the brain consolidates the memory, it regulates your emotions, it solves problems during your periods of downtime. So we need it. We have to understand that rest improves the things that we're looking for. Decision-making, mood, creativity. So we have to look at it as more of a healthy investment rather than a luxury. We need to learn to pause. We need to be able to sit in silence and understand that that is not a sign of weakness at all.
And probably we could change, get parents and so on to change the narrative of what it is you're doing lying down there, and you're being lazy today, especially with school children, after the whole week of back and forth with school and the home just knocking about lying down. Yeah.
And nothing is wrong sometimes for us to just allow ourselves really and truly to sit in silence and sit into that minute of pause so that we can recalibrate, we can recharge and revitalize ourselves so that we'll be able, because we can't, they're saying that we can't pour from an empty cup. So how are we then going to redeposit that emotional, those emotions that were withdrawn from us? We need to redeposit those things.
Mm-hmm. Any last tips you can give for this topic as we learn how to rest?
Certainly, I think, again, we have to really and truly understand that we need to regain that self of control and to reduce our emotional overload. We are in a very busy time. The modern society now has really and truly created this sense of busyness as a status of importance. We have to understand and ask ourselves, you know, what matters to me and what matters to my family and what my life looks like and how then am I going to get there? Success is, we're not saying that hard work is not essential for us to be successful, but in the same light, we have to also understand that we need to make sure that we have to take care of ourselves, which includes that we need to have moments of rest, that we need to have moments where we be able to change our mind and we can say no. No is a complete sentence, and that we don't have to regret those things because we understand what is our bigger picture.
Well, Ms. Henry, I want to thank you so much for taking the time and coming to talk to us about, you know, are we doing too much? And for those that resonate, you know, the answer is yes, even though you don't want to admit it, today was just for you. Thank you so much, Ms. Henry.
Thank you, Tuska. Take care.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.